That was fun. Middle Church, Children's Church, take off.
Hi, Austin, how you doing? That was interesting, wasn't it? How many enjoyed that? How many actually did the motions? Now, come on. Some of you are just like,
I don't do motions in church.
Why not? What's wrong with you? Well, one of the nice things about being a grandpa is I sit in the front of the truck in my Toyota Tacoma, and one of the grandkids sits back here. And it doesn't matter who it is. They're strapped in and everything's safe, but they talk. And I don't know where they get that from, but they talk, and sometimes I even understand what they're saying. And they talk, and I don't know what they're saying sometimes, especially some of them, and I say, yeah, uh-huh, oh, really, oh, yeah, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, okay? And it's just like, it's fun, it's interesting. And what I don't want to do, I don't say yes because I don't know what they're saying. And so I can't say yes, so I say, is that right? You know, I just, you know, and it's fun. And you who are not grandparents yet, you'll have the joy if you get a Toyota Tacoma. You just sit them right back there and you ask them questions. And just because I say uh-huh and yeah and stuff like that, that does not mean that I agree with them. Okay, because some of them have ideas that are just like, whatever. But just because I agree intellectually doesn't mean I believe what they're saying or believe what they're saying is true. Not that they would intentionally lie, but they have some fairy tale ideas about different things. When we come to the Word of God, when we come to faith, faith is more than intellectual assent. Oh, I believe that. If you ask most people on the street, do you believe in God? Most of them would say what? Go ahead. Yes, most of them would say, yes, I believe. My next question is this. Okay, you ready? Do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. I believe there is a God. How does that affect your life? How does that affect your life? And see, if you say you believe in God and it doesn't affect your life, my question is, really, do you believe what you just said? Do you really believe there is a God? And so this morning, we are going to start in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. This is called the Faith Hall of Fame. And we're going to only be looking at three verses this morning. Oh, it's only going to be a short message. Now, I didn't say that. All I say is we're going to be looking at three verses. Let me go ahead and read them. Read with me this page, if you would, okay? Read with me, please. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Now, if you have an NIV this morning, and some of you like the NIV, this is what we read. I'll go ahead and read it and move through it. Now, faith is confidence. Oh, I like that. Now, faith is confidence in what we hoped for. It's futuristic. We're hoping for that. We're looking forward to that, okay? Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. Now, I would like to, you have in your Bibles, when you translate from the Greek to the English, it doesn't translate always smoothly. So what I'm going to ask you to do, and I think you'll permit me to do this, I'm going to put a little three-letter word in there, and I know it fits, okay? That's not the problem. Now, faith is the confidence of what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not yet see. That clarifies something for me. That helps me. This is what the ancients were commended for. They got a commendation for. Who commended them? Well, we'll look at that in a minute. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now, if you have a NASB, a New American Standard Version, we're going down through the versions. See, when you only have three verses, you got to do something, okay? But this gives some insight. Now, faith is the assurance, different word, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction. Or if you're from Lancaster, you don't say conviction. What do you say? Go ahead. Conviction, okay. Dear godly friend, when every time he said conviction, I just smiled. Dear godly man, he's with the Lord now, but conviction. He was under conviction. And sometimes when I say that enough, you know what happens? I end up saying it all the time, so I have to be careful. The conviction of things not yet seen. For by it the men of old, not necessarily elders, classification, gained approval. From whom? That's the question. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And I'm going to go back. I'm going to use the King James. I'm comfortable with King James. I memorized out of that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, I've consistently underlined a number of words up there, and well, look, those are important words. Well, all of them are important. We need to understand the nature of faith. Recognize this chapter as a history of the faithful prior to the incarnation. Incarnation, celebration. What is it? Christmas time. Yeah, when God became a man. And so incarnated in Christ, it has a threefold purpose. When I saw this, I thought, this is excellent. This is good stuff. The lives of the ancient faithful clarify the nature of the faith that the pastor, and when we say the pastor, we're talking about the author of Hebrews, that the pastor would have his hearers emulate. Now, I'm going to spend a little time here. What the author of Hebrews is saying is, this is what faith is like. In fact, I've written down, this is what faith looks like. Faith is one of those items. It's like love. Can you define love? Well, there are a million different definitions. It all depends who you are. Can you define compassion? Can you define this? And so what we find here is the lives of the ancient faithful, those before the incarnation, they clarify the nature of faith that the pastor would have his ears. This is what I want you to be like. This is how what faith looks like. And so he does that up front. What else do we find? The perseverance of those who have gone before serves as motivation for perseverance in the present. Look at how they lived. Look at the challenges that they faced. You finish this up by application. Ready? Look at the challenges they faced. They did it, so can you. And that is the import. When we study some of these characters, just some of these, they're just people. They're just people just like you and me. They're flesh and blood. They had days just like you and me. They had nights just like you. They had trials just like you. They had families just like you. They had government officials to put up. They had a lot of idiots to put up with. How many put up with idiots weekly? Yeah, not me or you, but you know, people. People, yeah, we put up with them. They had situations just like you have. And so they did it, so can you. This is what faith does. And so we need to learn that. How do I learn it? Well, watch how these people live their lives. The faithful of old provide an alternate society that counters the baleful, we don't use that word very often. What does it mean? Malignant, threatening influence of the unbelieving world in which the hearers live. Folks, we live in a world that does not believe like us. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe it is inspired. I believe the Bible is the final authority for my faith and practice. That's where I stand, and I can't move off of that. I am convinced that is what I live differently than the world. And so do you if you believe the Word of God. And so here we are. We live in this kind of world. How do I live? The faithful of old provide an alternate society, Israel. We are not Israel. We are the body of Christ. If you're a believer this morning, you're part of the body of Christ. We're a society of believers. We support one another. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. God put us together as a family for a reason, to support and to encourage one another. There are at least 20 one another's in the Word of God. We are an alternate society. We are a society within a larger frame of reference. We are the family of God. We think differently because we love the Word of God. We love God. We behave differently. That's who we are. And that's what the author of Hebrews is trying to get us to think. Well, this is how faith lives. This is how faith lives as we study the book of Hebrews. Recognize what faith is not. It is being described and not defined. Faith is not mere intellectual assent. It is not blind optimism. Oh, I believe. And you can put, I had a young man years ago. He was laying in the hospital bed like this. He had cancer. He had all sorts of problems. He had a rod going up his spine because he was so bad. And there were people, I believe God, I believe God. You know what? That's called blind optimism. The doctors that already said, how many believe God can do miracles? Answer, I do. I do. I believe God can do anything He wants to do. But faith is not blind, uninformed, ignorant optimism or sentimental wishing something into existence. Oh, I have faith that we're going to have so-and-so in the White House. You know what? I'd like to believe that too. But I look at what happened, and you know what? I'm a little frightened. Anybody else a little frightened? A little frightened? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. See, faith is not that. Faith is not belief in spite of evidence. Many, when they are presented with adequate evidence, still refuse to believe. Here's the evidence. Now, I can't buy that. It's amazing. We look at the same pile of evidence, the same portfolio of evidence, and you know what? One guy says, I believe that, and another guy says, no, I can't believe that. What is the difference? One man chooses to believe, and the other man says, no, I cannot believe. There is a matter of choice in this whole faith issue. I choose to believe. I choose to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I choose to believe that He died, He was buried, and He rose again. I choose to believe that based on the evidence of, go ahead, the Word of God. I choose to believe that. Some will say, yeah, that's okay for you, but you know what? That's okay for the world. God said so. And that's faith. Faith has to have evidence, but you've got to be careful. Recognize what faith is. Faith is very practical. It is lived out in everyday situations. Now, the people that we're going to look at in Hebrews chapter 9, they had big events in their life. How many have had a big event in their life? First one was when you came into the world and doctor didn't know which end to slap. I mean, that's the way it was. Big events. But you know what? My life is not filled with big events. Is yours? It's not. It's getting up tomorrow morning, brushing my teeth. I don't shave on Mondays. And I'm thankful for that. I go about my daily business. Am I living by faith? Answer, yes. But there's no great challenge. You know what? For some, tomorrow morning, it'll be a challenge to get out of bed. It'll be a challenge to go to work. It'll be a challenge to do that. For them, it is a higher degree of faith, but it is still faith. You either live by faith or you don't. Faith is very practical. Faith is a present and continuing activity. All, every day, day by day, every step that I take, it is called the W-A-L-K, the walk of faith. Faith involves progress. It is a way of life. Faith moves forward. It doesn't retreat. Faith moves forward. There's got to be some kind of progress. Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. I don't think Will Rogers is a great theologian. But you know what? I appreciate that. Oh, I'm on the right track. Are you moving? Are you moving? See, that's the question. Hey, and really, that's it. That's it. I mean, if I got saved 20 years ago and I haven't grown at all, guess what? Oh, I'm saved. I know the Lord. Are you growing? Well, I didn't say that. I know the Lord. Well, come on. Come on. Faith moves forward. It's got to move forward. What else do we find? Faith is a solid conviction resting on God's words that makes the future present and what is not yet visible seen. Now, I say God's words because when we get to Abel and Enoch and Abraham, you know, are you listening? They did not have a Bible. Abraham didn't have a Bible. Enoch didn't have a Bible. God spoke to them directly. I have the Word of God today. I can read it any, God can speak to me anytime I want to open the book and say, God, please speak to me from your word. They didn't have that. But you know what? Their conviction, their faith rested on the word of God. We need to understand the impact of faith. Faith will have an impact. God is impressed by the faith of his people. That sounds strange. God is impressed? Yeah. Who does the commendation? For by it the elders obtained a good report or were commended. God does the commending, and people recognize that. Elders refers to forefathers, patriarchs, ancients, men and women of old, leaders of Israel. These are the ones that make the headlines in God's newspapers. The way God demonstrates his power in their lives is evidence for the reality of God and his present activity on his people's behalf. God is invisible. God cannot be seen. But he can be seen in the actions of those who say, I am a believer. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. That's how he displays himself. It is for their faith that the men of old stand on record. For faith they are commended by God and honored among men. The first eight heroes are all from the book of beginnings. The book of beginnings, what book is that? The book of Genesis. And quickly, Abel, Genesis 4, Enoch, Genesis 5, Noah, Genesis 6, Abraham, Sarah, she's our lady, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all of them. The author goes back to the beginning, and the author says, folks, you want to know what faith does? You know, I want to know how faith lives out its life. Look at these people. Check them out. And you know what? Most of these are included in a Sunday school curriculum that your children are learning in Sunday school. Hopefully you have them there to learn. In Old Testament times, many men and women had nothing but the promises of God without any visible evidence they would ever be fulfilled. And again, Abraham is the greatest model of faith. Lived in Ur of the Chaldees. God said, Abraham, I want you to get up. I want you to move with your wife over to a land that I'm going to show you. He didn't give him a place. He said, Abraham, I want you to move. Oh, okay, pack up. Where are we going? You know, we don't even know. He didn't know. But you know what? God said it, and he did it. He obeyed God, and it was bare faith. Yet they regulated the whole course of their lives by the word of God. Their faith consisted simply in taking God at his word and directing their lives accordingly. Faith leaves an impression. Why are these guys in the hall of faith? You know what? Because they believed God. They believed the word of God. They trusted him, and they went forward. They made a difference. Miss Jones, an elderly spinster, lived in a small Midwestern community. She had the notoriety of being the oldest resident of the town. When she died, the editor of the local newspaper wanted to print a little caption commemorating Miss Jones's death. But the more he thought about it, the more he realized that while Miss Jones had never done anything terribly wrong, no jail time or DUIs, yet she had never actually done anything of note. She didn't do anything. Well, while musing over this, the editor went down to have his morning coffee and met the owner of the tombstone establishment in the little community who was struggling with the same problem. He wanted to put something on Miss Jones's tombstone besides Miss Nancy Jones, born such and such a date and died such and such a date. But he couldn't think of anything significant that she'd ever done. The editor decided to go back to his office and assign the first reporter he met with the task of writing a small article suitable for both the paper and the tombstone. I like this. Upon returning, the only guy around was a rookie sports editor. So he gave him the assignment. If you pass through that little town, there isn't a little town like that, just so that you know that. If you pass through that little town, you'll find the following on her tombstone. Here lies the bones of Nancy Jones, for her life held no terrors. She lived an old maid, died an old maid, no hits, no runs, no errors. You know what? I don't laugh out loud very often, but when I got done with the tombstone, I just sat there and I just laughed. I was amused. You know what that says? Now, this is a fictional story. You understand that. But you know what it says? She did nothing. Her life never counted. She came on the scene. She passed off the scene. She made no difference. Ah, How many would like to live a life like that? Not I. Not I. Not me. Not you. She didn't make any mistakes. Yeah, but there's more to life than that. God establishes a pattern for unveiling the heroes of faith. First and foremost is their motivation. And what is it? Faith, by faith. And there's a pattern. We'll go through all this every week. They are then introduced by name. Faith is personal. Their act of faith is dependent on God's instructions. God speaks, they do. God speaks, they do. There is a practical and positive outcome of their faith. They do something positive. It is practical. It's not leaping over a mountain. By great faith, I can jump off the cliff and land on my feet. Oh, you go ahead and try that. See how that works out. Tell me later. We also discover the challenges of faith. Faith is superfluous. That means it's of little worth if there are no challenges. That's the nature of faith. Now, folks, if you think about that, it's the big challenges in life that say, I'm going to believe God. God said this. I'm going to believe Him. By faith, you teach Sunday school. I'm scared to death. Yeah, but you know what? Why don't you believe God and get involved? By faith, I sign up for VBS. Yeah, but I'm afraid. Who cares? If there's no fear, there is no faith. How many understand what I just said? If you're not, folks, I tell you what. One of the scariest things in my life was when I stood in the baptistry in January of 1975. I got saved in October of 1974, and the pastor said, well, your next step is baptism. I said, what's that all about? And then he shared with me that it's identification with Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. He told me what I had to do, and I said, well, if that's what God wants me to do, I was dumb enough to say, if that's what God wants me to do, that's what I'll do. Try that. Ready? If that's what God wants me to do, that's what I'll do. Say it again. If that's what God wants me to do, that's what I'll do. Folks, and I tell you, I stood in there, and I just about cried. I was scared. There were people sitting out there. I was teaching school up in Mansfield. I was in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, the church was. That's where I got saved. And I was standing there, and there were kids from my classes sitting in the auditorium. And I was scared. But you know what? I believe that's what God wanted me to do based on His Word. And guess what? Go ahead. I did it. Not because I necessarily wanted to do it, but I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. The first time I taught a Sunday school, I was asked, again, I don't want to be real personal, but folks, this is my life. First time I was asked to teach Sunday school and youth group, I was scared. Every Sunday afternoon, I went at least three times to the bathroom, and I won't tell you what I was doing. I was scared. But you know what? I believe that's what God wanted me to do. When I picked up my family, we moved to Word of Life to go to Bible school. Was I afraid? Answer, go ahead. Yes. And some people criticize me. What are you doing? Giving up a teaching job. You know what? I believed that that's what God wanted me to do. And you know what? I was determined. I thought that's what Christianity was. I didn't find out until later that people said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. They sort of pick and choose their Christianity. Folks, and again, I am not a wonderful example. I don't show up in the Faith Hall of Fame. You don't see Frank Rice in there. But you know what? That's what God wants you to do. God wants you to trust Him. We sang about that this morning. Goofy songs? Yeah. But you know what? We sang about faith this morning. Trusting. And so here we are. We also discovered the challenge. Faith is superfluous if there are no challenges. That's the nature of faith. God commends them, testifying to the validity of faith. He's got faith. Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. You have the faith to do that. Make sure God's directing you. We need to understand the practical challenges of faith. The life of faith begins with creation. I just wonder why he starts with this. I mean, let me go ahead. By faith, we understand, we believers, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. When I came to faith in Christ, one of the biggest issues I had was I had gone through high school and college, and I was shoved evolution, 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 evolution. It makes sense. When I started studying, because I'm a Christian now, you know what it says in the beginning of the Bible? In the beginning, go ahead, God created the heavens and the earth. And I got a problem. I got a conflict of faith already. Either I'm going to believe the Word of God or I'm going to believe the Word of men. You know, the more I studied and read, the more I realized how many liars and schnooks have fabricated evidence that you have been fed as students. That there are all, there's so many evidence, so much evidence for the missing links and all of this and all of this, it makes sense. You know what? Here's the pile of evidence. And you know what? I come away from that saying, you know what? Evolution is a lie. It's a lie. And those guys are lying. They are schnooks. Guess what? I'm going with the creation. Here it is. By faith, I understood that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The challenge for faith is to believe God's powerful, life-giving Word. The author takes us back to the very beginning. The creation account, Genesis chapter 1, states, then God said, I think it's 8 or 9 times, multiple times, followed by what? And it was so. Then God said, and it was so. Then God said, and it was so. It's either true or it's false. True or false? Not that, anyways. Hey, it's either true or false. Either God created it or it's a lie. And you know what? There are a lot of folks who spin yarns and tales about how they explain away creation. Folks, I'm going to stand firm. I am a creationist. Here's why. The life of faith runs contrary to this present worldview. Modern biblical scholarship has devised a variety of strategies for concealing, evading, or denying the simple fact that Christian faith has its own distinctive reasons for concern with the Bible. What are they? If you don't live it, you don't believe it. Paul Harvey. How many? You don't know that? It's a beautiful day where? Isn't he the one? Ah, what's the rain? Who said? No, you can tell me later. It's a beautiful day in Pennsylvania. Anybody ever hear that word before? Okay, Betsy, just tell me who it was afterwards. Anyways, this guy here, if you don't live it, you don't believe it. We study it, the Word of God. Why? So that we, by grace, can live it. Faith must be more than intellectual assent. Belief does dictate behavior. When I approach the Word of God, I approach it as the authoritative Word of God. It is inspired, and what I come is say, God, teach me so that I may what? Do it. Teach me so that I may do it. Behavioral scientists in Scotland offered a boy a fistful of money if he'd allow himself to be let down by a rope over a cliff in a precipitous mountain gorge. The boy longed for the money because he was poor. But when he looked down into the 200-foot chasm, he said, no, I don't think so. That's not up there, but that's my no. I don't think so. That's stronger than no. After further persuasion, he finally said, I'll go if my father holds the rope. I like that. Faith is allowing your heavenly Father to hold the rope. That's what faith is. I'll go if my father holds the rope. It is an act of the will, and it receives God's commendation. Faith leaves a legacy. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. True biblical faith is confident obedience to God's Word in spite of fears, in spite of circumstances, and in spite of consequences. That's faith. Anybody can live out their normal life and just putz along and make no difference at all. Faith involves a challenge. And my question this morning is this. What does God want you to do? Now, that's a very personal question. It has to do with you and God. What does God want you to do this morning? And I'm serious. Can you think of anything in your life that God wants you to do? I was blessed when someone shared with me recently, well, Pastor, you said we should choose 3 missionaries and pray for them all year. You know what? Sometimes I get the feeling that nobody listens to the pastor. I was blessed when that person named the 3 missionaries and says, I pray for them. The same person, I know some of you do this, challenged us. The pastor said at the beginning of the year, you need to read through the Bible this year. Set it as a goal. Some of you have done that. and I thank the Lord for you. My question is this. What does God want you to do? It may come through the pastor. It may come through the daily bread. It may come from your personal devotions in the morning. It may come from a radio preacher, somebody who preaches the truth, and there are some. Folks, what does God want you to do? Faith gets involved in the lives of other people. Faith does something. If my faith is not doing something, I need to ask myself the question, do I really believe? Now, I mean, is that too much? I don't think so. Do I really believe? What does God want you to do? What does God want you to do? Father, this morning we do thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for each person in this auditorium. And Lord, the amazing thing is that you know the thoughts of each one of us individually, personally. You know what we're challenged with. And so, God, this morning I pray that you would clarify those things in our minds. Father, you do want our faith to progress. And so I pray, God, that you'd help each one of us. Father, I'm not about to tell people here what you want them to do unless it's in the Word of God. But I do pray that you would do that. Father, that this week they might even pray that simple prayer, God, is there something that you want me to do that I'm not doing now? Father, we trust you that you will work. We trust you for the results. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.